thinking about a nice relaxing beach, sandy beach. I was picturing all the rock pools and everything. I was also thinking about what it must have been like a few years ago at the Sea of Galilee. And as I said, you know, there's rock pools, tiny little fish in them. So if we imagine today that we're there, several years ago, clear blue sky, not a cloud in sight, not like this morning, I have to add, pouring roof rain outside. So you'll have to use your imagination this morning. Sky is lovely shade of blue. It's quite hot. So I'm just painting the picture for you this morning. So I've got my sunscreen. I'll be putting a little bit of that on later. But as you can see from the PowerPoint here, I started thinking about there's actually quite a few life lessons that we could consider and reflect on tied into the beach. So why not do them? So the first one, as you can see on the PowerPoint, says sunscreen may prevent a quick tan. It might prevent a deep tan. That's what a lot of people believe. But it actually prevents painful burns as well. So I'm going to be talking about that in a moment. On the PowerPoint, you can see there's a few other things on there. So we've got number two, nothing but time really stops a jellyfish sting hurting. Anybody ever been stung by a jellyfish? Was it awful? Wasn't too bad. Brilliant. Salt water both stings and heals, number three. Number four, you can't learn to swim in shallow water. Number five, running on soft sand is hard, but it makes you stronger. Number six, sunrise is new every morning. And number seven, travel light and stay together. So the first one. The first thing I think of when I'm going to the beach is sunscreen. And it doesn't actually prevent a deep tan. What it does do is it prevents things like cancer and painful burns. I've had third degree burns from sunshine when I was younger. So I now put on a high factor. So as you can see, I've got factor 50 here. So somebody once asked me, is there any difference regarding what time you have your personal time with God? And I thought about that and I thought, actually, I don't know. This was years and years ago. And now, obviously, the main thing is that you have it. And myself included, I've done quite a lot of shifts in jobs. So I haven't always necessarily had time with God at the same time every day. So I was thinking about this. And I thought, I know, I'll do a little experiment. Because I know people work shifts like me. People have heavy childcare duties or jobs that prevent them from having time with God at the same time every day. So I know I'll do a little experiment, and I had my time with God at various times of the day. I then stopped doing that. I then had my time with God first thing. And I realised something. When I had time with God first thing, when challenges came my way, I was immediately ready for them. I was like, yeah, let's go. You know, God immediately filled me full of faith. Yeah, let's do it. That was not the same when I'd had time maybe later on in the day. And what had happened then was a challenge would come my way and then I'd think, oh, I'm not ready. God, please help me. He'd help me. And then I'd deal with the challenge. So I learned that having time earlier on in the day was a bit like putting sunscreen on. It prevented me from burning later on. So I then went back to the person that had asked me and I said, I've got an answer for you now. I see it like this. It prevents us. We're ready when challenges come our way. Now, there's absolutely no condemnation. I myself can't always have time with God first thing in the day. However, putting on God's protection first thing definitely helps. So I'm going to put a bit of factor 50 on now. Because it's fairly early on in the day. Oh, I didn't get much there. There we go. Put my sun cream on. So if you picture this beach today, it's about 32.2 degrees Celsius. And I've been told it might get up to 36, so it's going to get quite hot, hence the factor 50. So, number two, nothing but time really stops a jellyfish sting hurting. I've included this because we were at a beach when we were kids once, and there was me and my two brothers. We were all quite small, and we'd got to the beach thinking we'll spend this day making sandcastles. My mum and dad were there, and they said to me, "Oh, look, a whole load of jellyfish." And they were, anyone know about box jellyfish? Yeah, don't go near them. My dad said, you know, we were just about to go. We got all excited and we thought, oh, they're all stranded. And us kids, we thought we're going to do this huge rescue mission of all these jellyfishes and get them back into the sea because they were all lying on the beach. And my dad said, no, don't go anywhere near them. He recognised that they were box jellyfish. Now, if you know anything about box jellyfish, they cause non-stop contraction of the heart. So it literally goes like that all the time. That then produces a lot of potassium in the blood. That is then lethal. So, you know, there's nothing you can do to stop that unless you've got equipment on the beach to, you know, revive you. So, not good. So, fortunately, my dad had recognised that. And he said, don't touch them, we'll go do something else today. Won't go anywhere near the jellyfish. So the lesson here is not all jellyfish have such bad effects as that. Not all have stings that can cause death. But they can be very painful at times. Now, also, obviously, if we ever do get stung and it's not lethal, that's great. But, you know, it's still good to be alive, you know. So I would say, you know, if you have ever been stung in life, be kind to yourself, give yourself time. Time will help you get over the hurt. Now, on this beach where we are today, fortunately, there's no jellyfish, box or otherwise. So I'm going to go on to the third point, which can also sting sometimes, and that's salt water. Now, I've labelled point three as salt water both stings and heals. Have you ever gone to the beach and you've had a cut or something and you go paddling and you think, well, actually, that stings a bit. Have you ever had that? Yeah. Or you've got some sort of wound and you get salt water in the wound and sometimes it can sting a little bit. Another question. Have you ever been to the dentist and the dentist has taken out a tooth or done surgery and said, do some salt water gargles? Have you ever done that? Yeah. So my point here is salt water can sting, but it can also heal. Now, here on this beach, and also in Galilee actually, the seawater won't sting today because years and years ago, up until the 1930s, the seawater at Galilee was actually salty. Now, since the 1930s, it's fresh water. So, good news, it won't sting if we paddle today. So, sometimes, and I mention this for a certain reason, sometimes we have to go through a little bit of pain, a little bit of sting, in order to heal. And when I say that, I'm talking about physical, mental and emotional pain. I've been a qualified Christian counsellor for many years, and part of what I do and have done has been part of several prayer ministry and pastoral care groups over the years. And when a person has come for counselling, there's quite often the realisation in that person that to get rid of the pain, they actually have to go through something that might hurt a little bit to get out the other side. Sometimes the only way we can be free of the hurt is to face the situations, people or memories that sting a bit. Just like when we bathe a cut in salt water. But in counselling, facing this in a controlled way allows the salt water to cleanse and heal. And this means that in time the pain will dissipate and it leads to a healthier, happier and a whole self. Now if we take a little trip into the history books, Galileans in ancient days also experienced a bit of stinging and healing. In the times of Numbers 34:1, the boundaries around the Sea of Galilee were marked out very clearly. And this was because it was an inheritance from God to the people of Israel. And the boundaries run all along the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. However, during the time of two kings, there were invasions and violence. During that time, and that's during the reign of a king called Pekah, the king of Assyria came along and he took the people of Galilee as prisoners. Overnight they lost their freedom, families and friends. And it must have really felt like the end of the world to them. But, I said, salt water both stings and heals. Galilee not only suffered a history of violence, but, as we know, it paved the way for the coming of Christ. So, a few facts and figures for you. Galilee is mentioned 73 times in the Bible. And we obviously know it's where Jesus first called his disciples. All the apostles were Galileans by birth or by residence. As we also know, much of Jesus' public ministry occurred around the Sea of Galilee. And you might not know this bit, Jesus talked about 19 of his 32 parables there, performed 25 of his 33 miracles there as well. They believe that Sermon on the Mount and the Transfiguration were also said to have occurred by the shores of Galilee. And Jesus, as it tells us in Matthew 4, taught in the synagogues around there as well. So, salt water both stings and heals. My fourth point there, you can't learn to swim in shallow water. I often think this, wouldn't it be nice to be able to learn about things in a sort of comfortable way? Now, sadly, I think sometimes the only time we can learn things are in deeper waters. In shallow waters, we don't learn to survive, how to survive or survive in life's deep waters. The only way we can do that is to actually be in the deep waters sometimes. Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep in faith after catching no fish at all one night. And when he did so, as we know, there's so much fish in that net that it almost sank the boat. So to be clear, I'm not suggesting that we just launch ourselves headfirst out of our metaphorical boats without thinking about it. But I am suggesting that we learn when to jump in and go with the flow and when to fight against the current. And this helps us to survive the times in our lives when we find ourselves in deep water. So today on this beach, just to let you know, the sea is over there and it's about 44 metres deep, very deep. So I might go for a swim later. So on to my fifth point. Running on soft sand is hard, but it makes you stronger. Anybody ever tried running on really soft sand, sand dunes? What did you think? Nah. Yeah, like that? Yeah. If you've ever tried it, it's pretty hard, because every time you put your foot down, it sinks a bit, and then you have to have more energy to put another foot down. So you can get quite tired trying to walk, just walking on really soft sand when it's giving way under your feet. So we were away once on holiday, and again we were kids, and this was a beach in Wales, and we decided, we had this really bright idea as a family, to walk around the coast. And it was several miles long, and there was beach all the way along, and we thought, this is good, we'll go for a sort of hike, but it's going to be on the beach all day. So off we went, and we realised that the sand was very soft. So it wasn't very long before we thought, maybe this wasn't such a bright idea, but we know it's going to be several miles. We've probably done about 50 paces, and this is already quite tiring. So we then tried a bit of wet sand, and that was harder and actually easier to walk on. So we're like, oh, okay. So we thought, well, any sensible person would normally choose, if they're going to run, they're going to run on hard sand. However, here's the thing. Running on soft sand burns more calories, builds a stronger heart, builds stronger lungs and stronger leg muscles. So as Christians, we're not promised easy times. And in fact, Jesus talked about tough times, but at the same time he did promise to survive, to supply us with godly help. So if you're having to run on soft sand in your life at the moment, think about this. Just keep on putting one step in front of the other, because each step is making you stronger, despite any fatigue or pain that you might feel. Now, historically, Galileans that lived along the coast of the beach, and also, you know, today had to do this. Historically, relationships between Gentiles and Jewish people were quite tense for several reasons. So in the times of the Bible, Galilee was largely deserted after the Assyrian invasion between, and it says here, 734 and 732 BC. And it was also deserted for around 200 years before Christ. And at that time, the beach around Galilee was described as the most pagan Jewish province. That's quite a thing, isn't it? And then what happens? During the time of Jesus, Galilee was part of the Roman Empire. And it was actually located quite strategically between two places. It was between Syria and Egypt. And Roman leaders were allies, and they were placed there to rule and ensure the peace. However, as Romans were foreigners, the relationships were a bit tense, and the people of Galilee put up quite a strong resistance. So this meant that when Jesus went out, you know, we know all about the times that he's gone out and he's preached and he's got big crowds around him when he's teaching. At that point, you know, because of this mixed history, we now know that he must have had quite a mixed crowd that he was talking to. So he'd have had people in Galilee that were born and bred, that had got quite a bit of fight in them, you know, quite resistant. They would have been people with mixed fortunes. There might have been the odd Roman soldier there. They're people of mixed culture. They, as a people, you could say that they'd spent quite a lot of time running on soft sand. But it had made them stronger. It made them the people of perseverance. So, if you're facing one of life's challenges right now, or you're trying to walk on soft sand, I would just like to encourage you and say, don't be afraid. Just put one foot in front of the other and keep your eye on the prize, because you'll come out stronger the other side. So I'm going to look on this beach today that we've got here, and I'm going to look for a nice spot of soft sand a bit later, and I might have a quick run, but not right now. Well, right now we'll go on to point six. The sunrise is new every morning. So personally, I'm very thankful that the sun rises every morning, because with it come the mercies of God, and the mercies of God are new every morning. And so it was historically for the people of Galilee along the shores all that time ago. So if I go back to the time when I was talking about when the Galileans were taken prisoner, all was not lost. You might think, well, this is a very dire situation, but all was not lost. And in Isaiah, there was a word about this. I'm just going to read it to you. Isaiah 9:1, it says, "Nevertheless, there would be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in future he will honour Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan." Now, in the previous chapter to this, it's talking all about the people of God and the believing remnant that were there. And it's also talking about future restoration. So this is the first time when it talks about Galilee that it talks about a new day and a new sunrise. So it's giving new hope to the people of Galilee. And in effect, it's saying to them, look, you will no longer be held in contempt, but salvation is on its way, and it's going to come via the Messiah himself. Now, when I was looking at this, and when I was reading this, I thought, actually, that's quite interesting. I had never seen this before. And it actually talks about the other side of the Jordan. So historically, they would always talk about one side of the Jordan. Here, it's talking about the other side of the Jordan. You might think, well, why is that important? It's important because that side of the Jordan was where all the Gentiles lived. It's not where the believers lived. Even more interestingly, the Hebrew tense used here is called the perfect past tense. And what that means is that it's a certainty for the future. So it's talking about people that are Gentiles and a certainty. Now, this suggests to me that God deliberately chose to send Jesus, when he sent him, to the wrong side, what could be seen as the wrong side of the Jordan. He didn't send it to believers. He sent Jesus to all of the non-believers. Not only did he do that, that side of the Jordan historically had not been an easy place to live in. Hadn't been a stable place to live in, but that's where he sent Jesus. The tent use suggests to me that God, even then, gave a promise. So not only will salvation come, but it's a certainty for all of the future. Isn't that great? Now, God's mercies are new every morning, and a certainty for our future. So sometimes, if the sunrise is hidden behind gloomy skies, a bit like this morning, or the swirling storms of life, we should remember that the sun is still shining and rising. It's still there behind the clouds. Now, sunrises, as we know, if we've ever been up at the crack of dawn, some of them have a bright burst of light. Others just dawn gradually. I once got up because I saw such fantastic sunrises. So I got up at 5:30 one morning, literally just to photograph the beautiful sunrise, and then I went back to get bed again. It was beautiful colours. Now, life can be a little bit like that. Sometimes God's promises might break in with a huge burst of light, Sometimes the promises just dawn gradually. We might be there waiting like I did on that morning when I wanted to photograph the dawn. And we might feel, while we're waiting, a bit listless. We might feel held back by illness or frustration or anxiety. But the fact remains, God's mercies are new every morning. And the sun is still there behind the clouds. So that brings me to point 7. Now, I've called this travel light and stay together. Now, if you've ever been on the beach and you've been in rock pools, you might have seen a hermit crab. Anybody ever seen a hermit crab? It's got quite a pointy shell. Yeah. It's a bigger shell than normal crabs have. If you've not seen it, it goes up this way instead of across that way. And if you've ever watched one of them, you'll know that they carry their house on the back, like snails as well. They carry the house wherever they go, and it's a bit like shelter, comfort and protection for them. So I've got a question. Do we carry only what we need around with us? Or do we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders? Now, I've got a beach bag here. And as you can see, I've got a few things in here. Let's see what I've got. I've got my coffee, sunglasses. Oh, I've got some sandwiches as well. Hopefully the sand doesn't get into them. So, do we carry the weight of the world around on our shoulders? In our beach bag, do we pack it with past hurts? Do we pack it with gossip, insecurity, jealousy or fear? Now, I've just got my lunch in here. Hopefully I've got none of those things. Hopefully I'm not going to take half the beach with me when I go back home. So, I would like to say, if we do take any of those things back with us, if we do carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, how about on this beach, we use the beach shower and get rid of the worst of the sand and then dry off before we head home. So we have to ask ourselves, is our daily beach bag, like my one here, is it packed with past hurts, gossip, insecurity, jealousy or fear? If so, let's wash that off by the grace of God and let go of the things that weigh us down. Let's travel light. You may have noticed, if you've looked into rock pools, when you're looking at the hermit crab, you might have seen tiny little fish. Sometimes you might be fortunate to see little shrimps. There's all sorts of things that you see in rock pools. And if you see in the little fish, you might see that quite often, there's not just one or two, there might be a few, and they all swim together. And scientists have told us that they do this because, for several reasons, it protects them from predators. It also helps them improve when they're hunting for something. It gives them shelter. It also means that when they find food, they can all tuck in straight away. So, like fish, sometimes, as humans, we need people around us. Now, we don't call it a school. When you have lots of fish, you call it a school of fish. We might call it a support network. When we've got people around us, it's a support network. So, these are people that swim alongside us. And it's usually made up of, you know, people like friends, family, who surround us and help us through troubled waters. Help us and protect us. Or it can be people that swim alongside us just as companions to have fun with. These people around us, the friends and family, they can spot danger when we can't, when we haven't noticed. They can alert us to the need to change direction or move closer together. They can even alert us to the need to move outside the circle of protection that they provide sometimes. So they alert us to good and bad things. So it's important, therefore, for us to stay close and care for one another. So the shores of Galilee, if we pop back historically for a moment, they've seen a lot of action, good and bad. Just like the fish that show us and now support networks that show us good and bad things. The people living on the shores of Galilee years ago would probably have thought that they're just living their lives. They would never have imagined the type of holiday resort it was a few years ago, and they probably couldn't have imagined what's happening now. And as I say, this is no comment on it, it's just the beach theme. We might feel the same. We might feel we're just living our lives. We might feel, actually, don't think I've ever had an impact. We might feel useless. We might feel inadequate sometimes. But here's the thing. If we are doing anything in Christ, it might be more important than we think. If we are doing anything in Christ, doesn't matter what it is, if we're doing anything in Christ, it might be more important than we think. After all, didn't God send Jesus to what would have been seen as the wrong side of the Galilee? The wrong side of the Jordan? Didn't Jesus send and appear when he rose again? I'll just rephrase that. He didn't choose when he was resurrected to show himself to a priest. He didn't choose to show himself first to a king. He chose to show himself to an alleged prostitute or past history of Mary Magdalene. So if you're doing what Jesus is asking of you, I can promise you today that you will have impact. And that's because you're doing what he asks you to do. Even if you don't see it or feel it. And we, as the family of God, we are not insignificant because we are all special to him. And what's more, all the answers that we will ever need or want come from being with Jesus and walking alongside him. So the life's lessons from the beach today teach us how to keep ourselves protected. It teaches us how to give ourselves time to heal when we've been hurt, because salt water both stings and heals. Sometimes we don't really want to learn how to survive in deep water, but it nevertheless makes us stronger. And so does running on soft sand. God's mercies are new every morning, and this is a certainty for the future, and it's a promise from him. And as we learn to shrug off the worries and troubles we encounter, we learn how to travel light through life. And we realise the joys of swimming a godly life altogether. So that is the end of my message. And I would like to ask somebody come forward to give the notices. Thank you.